Dubai Eye
103.8. Making tracks. The memories, the thoughts, and the songs of some of the success stories who now call the UAE home.
Indeed, and today a real success story in the world of management consultancy. We're going to be talking to the managing director and the founder of Business in Motion, a consultant on leadership, an author, and a leader in the world of organisational development. Has been doing so for the last 25 years, an executive who's provided consulting services internationally since founding her business back in 2006. From a strong teaching background, a proud Australian, she's become much sought after keynote speaker and authority on all things management consultants. It is an absolute pleasure to welcome into the studio Debbie Nicol. Debbie, thank you so much indeed for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Really kind of you to take time to join us here. So much for us to talk about. But I suppose the best place to start is leaders and leadership, something that you know intrinsically, something that you've worked with and worked on for your entire life. Are leaders, not to put too far, we'll start with the big question, shall we? Are leaders born or made?
Made, absolutely. That's the first question everybody asks, yeah. I can honestly say, and research backs this, that leaders come from a choice, a place of choice, to do something or not to do something with what they have. So is it that they're born or that they're made, or is it that they're the people who are connected enough to understand the signs around them that this is the right way to go, this will serve, this feels good, or it's something that, no, we shouldn't go that way because of boom, boom, boom. So it's really, I look at leaders, and I take this from my own experience, as people who are able to connect to that which is around them, and it will give them signals. They're not born, they're not necessarily made, they take choices and flow with it and go with it because they know intuitively it's right.
The UAE, Dubai, this part of the world, somewhere that you know intrinsically now and have done for many years, is this conducive to learning leadership skills, this environment?
Absolutely. It's really about those behaviours. And, you know, people don't believe anyone unless they see, because credibility is do what you say you will do. So people need to see it. So talking about Dubai, for example, I mean, come on, what have we seen in the last 25 years? We don't need necessarily to say it because we see it time and time again. And we know that what we see is serving, and we know what it's serving because that picture is clear. It's painted. It's compelling. It's out there time and time again. To me, there's no doubt.
Obviously, this hour is not so much about the city, but although we will, of course, talk about the city, it's much more about you. So I'm fascinated to, and as I am with all the guests that come into Making Tracks, to learn about where the journey started. If the career in life has been a road trip to a certain degree, where did that road start for you? A proud Australian.
It's an amazing question because I believe it started without my knowledge when I was a child. I was born as a very, very curious person. I was always wanting to learn, to touch, to uproot, to turn things inside out. And I was always getting into trouble for it.
Okay.
I was always getting punished for it. I was told I was, you know, a rebel. I shouldn't be doing these things. And that surrounded me, because we become what we're surrounded with, that surrounded me with an air of control that I started to buy into at one stage because that's the only thing I knew, because I was subjected to it from every different place. But it didn't feel right for me. And that's where I suppose you could say my career started, because at the core of Business in Motion, at the core of Debbie Nicol, is connection. And if you can't connect to yourself, if you can't listen to yourself, your feelings, your intuition, your, you know, all these things, these signals that you get from within, you will buy in to the external factors. Mm. And external doesn't mean it's right for you. Yeah.
In terms of you, I mean, where do you you mentioned about this sort of extraordinary road trip that you've been on, but where did it all start? Which part of Australia do you hail from?
Well, even that was a road trip. I hail from Sydney originally, but then when I left school, it was I was a teacher, but at that time I was trained as a teacher, but there was an oversupply of teachers, so there was no jobs. So, yoo-hoo, that for me was an invitation to start getting going. And I ended up on the Barrier Reef, which we all know is beautiful islands, and, you know, I was dealing with customers, taking them on the boat every day from Hamilton Island Airport over to South Mole and back. It was a wonderful, wonderful way. And I started to experience freedom. And I started to experience connectivity with guests and understanding why they were all different. And I wasn't right and they weren't wrong. They were just different, sometimes ridiculously different, but I realised I had to open my mind. You know, one guest asked me once, are the fish going to get up later because we went to daylight savings by an hour?
Yeah.
But you know, you learn when you're out there in the world. I was drawn into the corporate world because it's a learning lab. It's an amazing place where, go back to leadership, you can learn to lead yourself. You can learn to choose behaviours that build the connection. It can build connectivity to people, to service, to being. Yeah.
We have to make time for the music. We have to squeeze it in because we do ask you to select four songs along the way, four sort of sonic signposts that have been ever present throughout your life and career. So tell us about your first song. What is it and why have you chosen
it? Oh my goodness, when I hear this song, I just get the biggest smile. It's I think the official name is Waves Down in Africa, Toto, yeah. And for me, when I was a teenager, come on, Australia, we're all born and bred on the beach and you know, lived on the beach. And for me, nature was a way of escaping the control that was omnipresent. So my first, I suppose if you put the songs in order, this song released what I was choked by. It, you know, wherever you are and there's good surf, you know, you're gonna come out of the surf feeling so refreshed. You know, salt water is the elixir of life. So it's a signpost of I started to understand I could take a choice to go with the control or not.
It's track number one for our guest on Making Tracks today, Debbie Nicholas, with us here in studio.
To me as if to say, hurry boy, it's waiting there for you.
Making Tracks, the memories, the thoughts and the songs of some of the success stories who now call the UAE home.
We're in conversation with our guest on Making Tracks today, the Dubai-based CEO of Dubai-based Business in Motion, a business consultancy and learning organisation which moves existing mid-big business and leaders ahead in their careers, ahead of current performance and competitive forces. We're just talking to Debbie Nicholl about her formative years in Australia and what she took from that in terms of her career enhancement, her life progress as well. I mean, would you say, Deb, that you were a model student while at school?
I was very much a model student because I loved learning. Mm. Now, if you ask my teachers, they would say that. If you ask my parents, not at all.
Okay.
So I was model because I just couldn't get enough of learning.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. In terms of the sort of, it's interesting we talk about learning on the day that A-level results come out, and, you know, a lot of influence is put on sort of exam results as opposed to what you learn in the world and what you learn on the road as well. I mean, is that something that you've formed an opinion on during your time?
I have. I absolutely have. And I think we've done an injustice by allowing a system to put us into a box,
yeah,
that you're right or wrong, or you're good enough or you're not good enough. And this is where in business I see so much insecurity because we deal with the mid to high levels of leaders. These are they're the product of this system that really has not served the ability to have confidence in yourself. It has reinforced that the external is better than the internal. Now, there is, of course, the other side of it, of how far do you go with flexibility?
Mm.
And yesterday I heard the radio speaking about there's a new vocational college opening in Dubai.
Yeah, yeah.
And it won't have standards as such or a set curriculum. So that'll be very interesting to watch. Yeah.
I mean, again, is it looking at one's skills? And let's talk about you for a moment, if we can. And obviously going through the school system over in Australia,
yeah,
then getting great experiences. You mentioned about your move to the Gold Coast and looking at other moves around,
yeah,
around Australia. Was that all part of, because we like to use that word vocation, didn't we? Don't we? You know, you go to school, you get your grades, you do a university degree, that leads into teaching or it leads into medicine or whatever,
yeah,
and sticking with that vocation. And yet not sort of being a bit blinkered about what the skills that you've learned can lead you on to.
Absolutely. And this is why I come back to the word rebel, because, yes, I had to get those qualifications because that's what the outside world wanted.
Yeah.
But I was always, for example, I took 2 years leave and I just said, well, yes, I've been teaching, you know, for a few years, and most people say, my God, don't leave. You've got it so good. You've got 6 weeks. No, there's a world out there that I want to explore because that's where I'm going to stretch.
Mm.
That's where I'm going to learn. That's where my potential exists because I've already proved to myself that I can teach, I can motivate kids, I can. But do I want to stay there?
Mm.
And in fact, this has been the beauty of my career. Never back then in your wildest dreams, in my wildest dreams, would I have thought that I would have my own business, that I would be living overseas.
Mm.
I'm now launching my second brand. I mean, it's all about getting out of your comfort zone and allowing the learning, not what a learning system says, but what you feel excites you.
Mm.
And that's why I love surrounding myself with the younger generation at the moment, because they've got that idea. Mm. They know that. But I think they've taken that even a little bit to the extreme. And so I'm a bit of a balance of the old and the new. Like, I get the new from them, but they actually get a little bit of balancing from me too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, difference and diversity is key.
Talk to me about the move away from Australia, because you've talked about, you know, we can chart that sort of that wanderlust you had from Sydney up to the Gold Coast over to Darwin,
yeah,
and taking your skills with you. Was there a sort of an urge within you to get out of Oz?
Oh, absolutely. Look, Australia is a stunning country,
yeah,
a wonderful country. Yet something within was just driving me. And I will never forget the day my father, remember we were talking about, there was not the man, there was nothing wrong with the man, but he only knew what he knew. And he sat me down and said, will you get this idea of going to Malaysia out of your head?
Mm.
And I thought, well, that's just cemented it even more.
Yeah.
So there was this internal yearning. And I had, mum and dad had taken us around the world, you know, on a few trips.
Yeah.
So I had tasted difference and seen and felt the excitement. So the turning point for me was when I got my first position in Malaysia, which then led to Singapore, which then took me to Dhaka, and just it goes on and on and on. So, Yeah, there was an intern. Again, I was listening to my internal drive because I had become the antithesis of control. Now, whatever your lesson in life is, I'm not perfect with that, but I had recognized my value of freedom, of learning. It was all violated by control. So for me, getting out of Australia was where I would be able to find myself. I could define who I was. And, oh, my God, the minute I had, you know, my first week out of there, it was just like 25 years later, I still forget to go home.
We will talk about landing here in Dubai on part of that journey in just a few moments' time. Not though before I've asked you about a bit of John Bon Jovi up next. Second track. Why this one?
It's My Life. I mean, my goodness, the power. Every time I hear that come onto the radio, it's like I just want to stand on top of the roof and say, yes, it's my life. And I think, again, it goes back to those formative years of subconsciously knowing what felt right for me and what felt wrong for me. And so when I hear that, it's like just the words, it's my life. And he himself, when he sings it, if you've ever seen him in concert or in the videos, there is not an arrogance in him at all. It's just a statement that I have got the ability to be me, and my goodness, it's energizing. So, yeah.
It's track number two, John Bon Jovi, It's My Life.
The memories, the thoughts and the songs of some of the success stories who now call the UAE home.
Well, today's subject of Making Tracks is Debbie Nicholas. It's an absolute pleasure to have the Managing Director and Founder of Business in Motion here in studio with us, talking about how she came to be here in the UAE. And we've sort of charted that progress to a certain extent, Debbie, from your time in Australia, then moving on from Australia across various postings in Asia. 1996 is when you arrived in the UAE and arrived here in Dubai. But before that, of course, career had driven you and taken you to Europe and other parts for some very, very large roles as well in your life. And I'm assuming that's something that you wanted. That's something that you were driven towards.
I was just so hungry for it. But the question is, why was I hungry for it? And that was where the biggest learning was. So when I got to the global role over in Europe, was it because I really, really, really knew I could serve the organisation on a global level? Or was it because, again, that control angle of you're only, or that external factor that says you're only good enough when you have made it? And back then, made it meant you had the highest title or the best title as such. So, yes, I was driven for it or driven to it and driven for it. But at the same time, I question why. And the universe did a wonderful thing for me and showed me that I was out of alignment with who I was, because when I got that global role, it took me to a space that it literally wiped me out.
And is that what people have to be cognizant of, is this idea that people immediately hear global role and they think success, she must be a success. And yet with that global role becomes the opportunity for some very dark times as
Correct. You know, I was hearing at this stage of my life, I was being validated by everyone around me because I wasn't strong enough inside And the validation was, wow, look at you, Deb. You know, you've made it. Look at that. You're in a global role. You're in a different suit, you know, every day on a different plane going to a different country. And while I was smiling and saying, yeah, inside I was dying. Mm. I was completely void. I had thrown myself away. My body stopped talking to me, basically. It said, look, we've told you time and time again this isn't right for you because it's limiting you. It's not allowing you to be who you are. So it gave me that message probably 4 times. And the second last time I got that message was when I was in the tsunami. Mm. And the message was nothing or no one belongs to you, including titles. You know, it told me you're so unhappy, you're so, get out now. But I went back because I wasn't strong enough to listen to myself again. Mm. And a year later, that was when my world came crashing down at the time. It felt like it was crashing down. But in fact, for me, it was one of the best. I can say now it was one of the best things that happened because I had a redundancy and I lost my house and my car, my job, my self-esteem, and basically I couldn't walk or talk for 3 months. But it was a wonderful time because it helped. I had nothing left. Mm. And when you're stripped of everything, all you have left is your values. And your values are going to take you forward. And my values of curiosity, of learning, of respect, of diversity, they saved me because I reconnected to who I was. And that was where, of course, this has been a journey. This wasn't overnight.
Yeah.
And it took years and years for me to honour those values and find a way that I could live those values. So with my business, for example, I'm not working. And I know it sounds like a catchphrase, I don't work a day in my life, but I'm just extending my values in my business. I'm just being who I am. I choose the clients who are into curiosity, who are into development, who are into respect for diversity, who want to go forward, who want to look at change. And that's on an individual and also a corporate level.
Talk to me about the role of Dubai in this sort of regeneration, if you like, after charting the depths of those despair and the tsunami, as you mentioned there, and thinking, you know, what's next and where's it worth? Dubai, 1996, how did that come about and what sort of role did it play?
The reason I came to Dubai originally, which is crazy, is I was working on the Barrier Reef back in the days, and one girl I met told me, you have to go to this place called Dubai. And I'd never heard of it. This was well before I even came, probably 10 years before. And I said, where is it? And she tried to describe it to me. And what she described was the old gold souk in the days where there was no roads, but there was like, and I hope any listeners can help me if I'm not quite right here, but it was like bamboo huts with no windows, but like a thing that the gold chains would hang off and people would come along, look at it, take one, put money in a little bucket and then move on. And it was so rudimentary back then, yet the next time I met someone talking about Dubai, I said, oh, I've heard about that. And they said, no, it's different now. It's got gold on the taps in hotels. So I thought, I've got to go and see this place that's changing and seems a bit of a compelling story to it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Have you always had that sort of sense of, I mean, you're such an optimistic person and have such energy. Do you feel that the city has helped to feed that as well in many ways?
I honestly, we say we all have to go home sometime. Mm. I can't see it because Australia is a wonderful place, but every time I start even thinking about leaving Dubai, I think, but what am I going to do without that impetus for change? Mm. I mean, in Australia, we've got one road from Gold Coast to Brisbane, a main highway, 2 lanes. Since the day I left Australia, they've been debating about adding an extra lane. Mm. Still not added. Whereas here, look, we've had Al Kail and all the others. So what Dubai is doing for me, it's fueling my complete curiosity. It is allowing me to just keep this optimism and this hope, because when change comes about, you've got to have hope.
Yeah.
But if you combine the hope with curiosity, it turns into anything.
You've talked about the roles that you've had successfully, and you've talked about the struggles along the way. It takes a very different sort of mindset to decide upon setting up your own business. Now, that's something you did in 2006 here as well. Yeah. Was that a big jump for you?
Huge jump. I remember my office is in Knowledge Village, and I remember walking into Knowledge Village, and the lady from TCOM, at the day it was TCOM, I walked in, and these are the words. This is how raw and probably vulnerable I was. I said, "Hi, I want to open a business. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how to do it, but I've been told I need a license. Can you help me?" I mean, my God, you know, that was how curious I was, could I do this? Because everybody was saying to me, "Deb, you've got to open up." I couldn't see that I had the elements that they were saying you need, which is this perseverance, which is this optimism, which is this vision, the ability to see hope in things. So that's how it all started. And I've got to say, these people who say the first year or two is going to be a struggle, I think I'd suggest they extend that number. That's great.
We have plenty more to talk about. We've got more to talk about Dubai, about you, about your other achievements away from the workspace as well. Before we do that, let's move on to track number three, a haunting track, this one. Mr. Bruce Springsteen at his best. Why have you chosen this one?
Streets of Philadelphia. I remember watching, was it Meg Ryan? I can't remember the name of the film, but she... that song was the key song for the film. And she was down
in Philadelphia, isn't it?
I think it was Philadelphia, yeah. And she was down and out. And it was a daunting scene where she just literally collapsed in the shower and life had just got the better of her.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that was the place where I ended up, as per the story I shared. But yet it was like, not only was it the end, but it was the beginning. It really was. And I don't know why. Why do human beings have to go to their deepest, darkest depth of despair sometimes to change? Why do we have to wait to have a heart attack to change our diet? You know, you see it time and time again. Well, that was me. Not a heart attack, but that was me. So great, great track.
I walk the avenue till my legs felt like stone. I heard the voices of friends vanished and gone. At night I could hear the blood in my veins, just as black and whispering as the rain on the streets of Philadelphia. Gonna greet me, it's just you and I, my friend. And my clothes don't fit me no more. I want 1,000 miles just to slip this skin. The night is falling, I'm blind awake. I can feel myself fading away.
Making Tracks, the memories, the thoughts and the songs of some of the success stories who now call the UAE home.
Well, Debbie Nicol is our guest on Making Tracks today. And Debbie is the CEO of Dubai-based business in motion. A lot of people getting in touch saying, hi, can you please tell me Debbie's full name and company name? Well, we just did exactly that. And we'll post all the details up onto the website before the end of the show. And of course, the podcast will be available after the show. But if people are, I mean, people are looking to get in touch with you, Debbie, after listening to your story to date, what's your advice to them? How do they get in touch with you best?
How to get in touch? Probably email would be a great starting point. And then from there, I always connect with the person. So the email info at learninginmotion, learningenmotion, not I-N, enmotion.com. Like the French. We work with the finesse of the French.
Quite right, too. Get in touch with Deb and find out more. We've talked a lot about your professional life, your corporate life. I mean, what about how does Debbie sort of unwind though? Because I've heard stories of lore that, you know, you take yourself off to the Arctic and things like that to challenge yourself. Do you like a challenge?
Absolutely. I am forever, probably every third or fourth weekend, I'm in the mountains up in Ras Al Khaimah. I'm on the Via Ferrata somewhere. I mean, last time I had no skin left on my... I've got to do this because when you are in business, you've got to reconnect to who you are. Mm. And who I am is curiosity and learning. And so nature will take you to your limits time and time and time again. Yeah.
In terms of the way the business is at the moment, we've spoken a lot about business in motion and the success that you've had with your handpicked clients and the growing team that you've put together here as well. You're constantly on the road. You love what you do. What's next, though? Are you looking to expand? Is that something that you'll do? Mm.
Interesting question, because I have just... When the word expanded, that can come in different forms. And I've just launched a new, I call it a niche brand of Business in Motion. So Business in Motion always reconnects the leaders to themselves, to the strategy, to the team, to the customers. But while I've been in organisations across the GCC doing that, I notice that there seems to be a trend happening in corporations. And I'm seeing... look, nothing's black and white, but let's say 25 to 40-year-old frustrated executives who are a little despondent, more than a little despondent, and rather than facing the frustration, and hence when we face a frustration, we work through it, we become stronger ourselves. This is where your curiosity of trying new things comes into it. What I'm seeing is they don't accept it and they react and therefore suffer. So they jump. And either they jump into, oh, my career has got to be a career of mediocrity because there's no chance with these bosses, or they jump into entrepreneurship as a reaction to get away from this, to escape, but then in 12 months' time they're bitter and bent and broke. Mm. So what I have done for expansion is I've launched a sub-brand that's called Learning in Motion, and it's a contemporary response for those people to help them stretch themselves and to be able to become more of the person that they really want. And basically the end goal is fulfillment, career fulfillment. You can have what you want. This acceptance that I'm a captive of the ones around me, but it takes a lot of connectivity to yourself first, and the way I get that is through nature. So... Yeah.
And you seem to get it from this city that you call home at the moment, Dubai, and have done for the last 25 years. I just refer to that phrase that you used a little earlier on, which I think is brilliant, why we all have to leave one day. It just never seems to be the right time. Do you see yourself being here for a while longer?
It's how long's a piece of string. But yes, I mean, even if I ever left, my heart will never leave.
Yeah.
You know, there is something so special. We call it the land of sand. The connection that I get from this land is amazing. Not, you know, any city that is expanding as quickly as this, it's not perfect, but neither's Australia, neither's anywhere else. And I think if you accept that we're not here for perfection, we're here for fulfillment, you come at things from a completely different angle. Mm. Yeah.
And you mentioned, and you have done throughout our chat, about your sort of connection with nature. With that in mind, Where's your happy place here in Dubai? Where are you most at content?
In the city of Dubai, I have to be in the salt water every single day. Okay, on the weekends, I'll go to Oman. I'll go up the mountains in Ras Al Khaimah. But every day, if I'm with a client at a client's place, it may be late in the afternoon. But most days, I'm in the sea for at least maybe half an hour. Salt is the elixir of my life.
Really?
Yeah, I cannot live without it.
And the great outdoors, you feel that that's something?
Absolutely, really? Absolutely. I mean, I love this 50-degree heat. I know I'm crazy, but I love it because the more you sweat, the more that comes out of you, the more that can go in later.
Quite right too. Listen, it's been an absolute fascinating conversation. As I mentioned, it is one that will be available on the podcast. Elements of it will have been on Facebook Live throughout the course. But Debbie Nicol has been the guest of Making Tracks. Make sure you search for that in the podcast list. Deb, thank you so much indeed for joining us, for inspiring us, for telling us your story.
Thank you, Tom. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, there is one final little piece of business we must address together, and that is your final song. What is it and why?
It's Otis Redding, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. And that song to me is just everything about fulfillment. It's about that laid-back sitting, the alfresco dining, and just watching the world go by. Not that I stop that much, but, yeah, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, it's a beautiful song.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for being our subject on Making Tracks. Just kick back and enjoy.
Then I watch them roll away again, yeah. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. 'Cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change. Everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on a dock of the bay, wasting time.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.